Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Lord, we receive it all. We receive your fire. We receive your presence. We receive the open thing that you're doing in our midst. God's doing a new thing. Tonight is a special night. I know it's always special, but this is especially special. I saw a number of things as we worshiped, and one of the things I saw was in the tabernacle as the fire kept, you know, the burning of the incense, as that was going on, I saw flaps of the tent being lifted that we would see, that we would behold, that we would see some things we have not seen in God. And I think that's not just tonight. I think that's the day we're entering into. Those that haven't seen will see. And those that haven't heard will hear. And those who hear and see will go to a deeper level. And as your dedication goes, as your devotion goes, so goes the anointing and the glory. You see, you can't really walk in glory and presence without a deep devotion and dedication to His holiness. His glory. He gets all the credit. He's the one and only. There is no other. And the deeper you go in devotion and dedication to that, the more He will allow you to walk in and carry and become one with Him. See? The second thing I saw was a fire in the desert. I saw a vast desert land. And I saw, you know, we imagine when the Holy Spirit, right, went before them as a pillar of fire. But what I saw, it was as though I saw, I might have seen it like how God sees it. Because it seemed as though I was looking out from the fire or maybe from behind it. And I could see the vastness of the desert and the immensity of the fire. It wasn't just a fire. It was a fire. It was massive, massively wide, massively tall. It's a big deal. And we are a people, this is a remnant. You know, a lot of people don't come to our meetings because it's a little too. But if you come and you're able to keep coming, that says something about you. It says you want Him. You remember when a lot of people walked away from Jesus because of His teaching about His flesh and blood? Remember that? He talked about communion. They were like, Remember, to a Torah-following Jewish person, that would have been offensive in the extreme, right? Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Are you crazy? This guy's nuts, right? Cannibalism? I don't think so. So you had to know who He was by the Spirit to stick with Him. Because otherwise you'd have been like, I'm out, this is too weird. If you go after this in your intellect, there will be some things that, wheels within wheels,
creatures full of eyes.
Come on, most people are like, I'm out, that's too weird. A flying roll. The first time I read Ezekiel, I laughed. I saw a flying roll. I'm picturing this bun flying through the air. Of course, he meant a scroll, but it just looked funny to me. There are things in heaven that are unearthly by definition. We are called to be an unearthly people by definition. We are called to acclimate to His realm. And if we don't grow accustomed to that realm, we will be too weak to carry what we're supposed to carry. So God takes us ever deeper, and He's so sweet. He starts just a little here and a little there. And He doesn't give us more than we can handle. He gives us a little more, and then a little more, and then a little more. But His will is to take us so much further until we are housing and carrying the glory and the presence in the earth for the sake of His people. It's not for us to feel like we have an anointing. That's not what it's about. The whole thing is about Him and them. I know you hear me say this a lot lately, but Jesus said, night comes when no man can work. I must do the work of my Father while it's day. We must do the work while it's day. There's not that much time left. We have to consider carefully how we spend our days now. And we have to ask, you know, sit at the feet of Jesus more than we ever have, because he's got something that he's trying to give us. You know, sometimes we sit around and we beg him for stuff, and he's like, I'm trying to give it to you. I have been trying to give it to you for years. Except he's not frustrated. It's just my paraphrase. But he's trying to release a thing into us. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the house of fire, the carrier of the glory, the tabernacle in the wilderness? Until you get this, you won't be able to carry it. We'll still say, oh, I want to be with you. I want to hear from you. And we see him in heaven and we're here. No, you're not here, honey. You're seated in heavenly places. You just don't know it yet. We have to come to a place where we know who we are, whose we are, and where we are living. And until heaven becomes your citizenship here and here, when you get it, that you don't belong, this earth, they're nuts. You know what? That's not new. They were nuts when he was here. And he came knowing these people would hate him without a cause, right? Brutalize him, torture him, and kill him. But he came as a stranger in the midst to purchase a redemption for his Father. And he knew it would kill him. And as he lived on this earth, he knew what was ahead. He knew it wasn't going to be a pretty sight. He knew it would be brutal. He knew it. He read it in the scriptures. He read about himself. No one could teach him. Mary and Joseph were amazing people. They were chosen by God, but they couldn't teach him how to be the Son of God. Nobody can teach Jesus how to be the Messiah. And believe it or not, he wasn't born knowing it. It's he grew in wisdom and stature and the knowledge of God. He grew. How did he learn it? The same way you're going to learn who you are. More than that, what you carry, what you are destined to carry. And it will not be the same for any two of us, because each of us was born for a different purpose, a different way, a different method. We won't operate the same. That's okay. God has many ways of pouring his glory through people. But God wants you to get, we have to stop seeing ourselves in the light that people have seen us and the light we've seen ourselves in the past. Chuck all that. Dump it. I promise that's not who you are in heaven. None of that is a measure for who you are in the Spirit. And some of us know about it, and that's how we start, right? We know about it. We get a little bit of head knowledge. Maybe he gives us a little picture, a little bit of freedom, a little bit of healing. We start to grow in understanding, but the day comes when it becomes more. And then more after that, and more after that, until you finally come to a place where you know who you are and whose you are. And it's not a pride thing. It is not a pride thing. In fact, it is. It can't be done without humility, because you have to understand we don't have anything to offer. Nothing. How thrilling. But what we can offer is a vessel that's been purged of the stuff. A pipeline that has been cleaned and cleared out, through which he can pour the presence. Now, through someone who's called as an evangelist, it will pour through them in a greater glory on the street. To someone that's called to be a writer, it will pour through them into the books that they write. You see? The glory will manifest through the pipe properly. God knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. He formed you in the womb. There's someone in here, people said things about you that were mean. They misjudged you because they were judging according to earthly standards. Earthly standards are ridiculous. They're just ridiculous. Earthly standards are so cheesy. You know, it's what you look like, how big your muscle is, how smart you are. That's all junk. That's all junk. Junk. What kind of car you drive? Oh, really? What's that about? Give me a break. How great your career is. what kind of house you lived. It's junk. That's all trash. And listen, the day will come when all that will pass away, and people who spent their lives dealing with that stuff will look back and say, man, I wasted my whole life and I could have had this. I could have had the knowledge that I was the tabernacle in the wilderness. I was the carrier of the presence. I was the house of God. You know, for me, this is the pearl of great price. This is what it's all about. This is all it's about. So all these other things, they're temporary. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter. But this I found out. God is faithful. And for those who press in and say, listen, I will do anything to devote myself greater and greater to the Lord Jesus Christ and his glory, and to doing what Jesus did, which is reconcile people to the Father. So in the book of Daniel, it talks about how Satan tries to change the set times and seasons, right? That's a scripture. Satan tries to mess with the times of God. He's trying to pull it back. And you know why? He doesn't want the Father to get his inheritance. There's an inheritance of children, people, lives, tribes, nations, kindred, all over the world that haven't yet come in. And the Father yearns for them. It's a mystery to me because, you know, why God wants us, I don't really know. But he loves people. And he wants every one of his kids to come in. And Satan is pushing so hard with lawlessness because he's trying to cut it short so the Father can't have the fullness of his inheritance. And so our job as the church is to push him back and say, oh, no, you're not. You won't have these times and seasons, and you won't have these people. And at the same time, be praying for your vessel to be prepared for this day that we're in. Another thing I saw is a picture of God taking someone and shaking them like this. Are you being shaken? And the shaking, what the really great thing about the shaking was, I saw almost like if a person had sort of shields over them. And I saw as he shook them, the stuff fell off, but inside I could see the fire. See, when he shakes you, it's not because he's punishing you. He loves you. He's shaking you to shake the junk off, because some people won't get their junk off any other way. You know, we can do it the easy way or we can do it the hard way. I learned a long time ago, I'd rather do it the easy way, which is repent quickly. Ask him, what is it you're trying to show me? What is it I'm not seeing? Why am I, listen, if you're contending with something, if Satan is in your face, if there's an issue, just ask. Now, sometimes Satan does that just because he's a jerk and you're following God. Sometimes that's the case. But sometimes we've given him license and we don't even know it. And that's where the danger is. And we go on for years saying, God, why don't you fix this? God, why don't you help this? And he's like, ahem, ahem. And he's waiting for us to say, okay, God, what is it that I'm not seeing? Is there something that I've believed that lie? Is there something, is a choice that I've made that isn't pleasing to you? Is there something I need to get out of my soul? Do I need to clean the pipe? Because you see, once we get the stuff out, the more and the more and the more and the more the rivers of living water. See, he's already released them. If you're begging him for anointing to flow through you, I promise he's already released that in fullness. He has turned it to blast. He's turned the knob all the way to blast. But yet we're going, and there's this little tiny drop. And they're like, oh, I got used. Pathetic. Right? I mean, just being honest, and that's where I came from. But the point isn't to beg God, oh God, use me. He wants to use us more than we want to be used. But we have to learn his way. I know some of y'all have heard this, but when God was teaching me these principles, he showed me a picture of a man in the woods. It was like fall, beautiful fall leaves, guys standing in the woods. He's saying, oh God, won't you use me? Oh God, won't you anoint me? Oh God, and he has such a perfect heart, he had a wonderful heart. And over, let's say 50 yards away, is this river. And this river is flowing all the time, 24 hours a day. And the river is saying, come over here, get in the river. Come over here, learn how to swim. Because the anointing isn't off in the woods, it's in the river, it's in the flow. It doesn't matter if you're called, chosen, anointed, or appointed. You get in the river, you will be. Because then you're just flowing with whatever the Holy Ghost is doing, and that means you're anointed to do all things. So there will always be rivers of living water flowing out of you, not because you're worthy, not because you earned it, not because you have your bachelor's in theological foofer-doofery, but because you learned how to swim. Now, I'm just going to say it. Some people are floaters. Some people are swimmers. Some people are snorkelers, so they go down and up, down and up. But some people get their scuba certification. And they lay on the bottom. You can take that or leave it, you know. It is a parable. You can go, you have to learn. Water has its own ways of moving, so does the Holy Ghost. You know the water is the Holy Ghost, right? Water has its own ways of moving, and you can't tell water what to do. John, you're a kayaker. Where are you, John? You're a kayaker. Kayakist, kayaker. And you know you can't tell the water what to do. You don't tell it how to. You go. You learn how it goes, and you go with it. And if you go with it, you can do anything, right? You can go into an eddy and just sit there and watch white water go right by, and you're sitting there doing nothing because you learned how it works. So it is with the Spirit. And so part of the way of learning the move of the Spirit is learning we don't have it in our flesh. We don't have the ability. What we have to do is forsake everything we know, all our knowledge, all our head gear. You know, take your head helmet off. Sit at the feet of the Holy Spirit. Work with him until you become an expert at moving in the water, moving in him. Okay? Anybody, listen, all believers are called to this. I have a sweet friend who's a pastor. He's a great man of God, got a large church. And I felt very complimented because he introduced me to the church as a prophet. And I took him aside and said, my friend, I really appreciate that. But everything I do, every single New Testament believer can do and can do better than me. It's just a matter of training. Now, there's a man, a great man of God, been through seminary and all kinds of years behind him, but he didn't really know that. But it is scriptural. You know, why you have the Holy Spirit in you. Therefore, all the gifts and all the fruits are resident inside your mortal body, if you're filled with the Spirit. So, God wants to take your life, and not everybody will commit to this, because it's not a push-button thing. It's something you commit your life to for the rest of your life, right? It's something you say, if I don't do anything else in life, that's what I'm doing. If I never do anything else, if I never have any other accomplishments, I am going to learn the walk of the Spirit. I'm going to learn how to carry the presence. I'm going to learn how to minister only what he says. I'm not going to add to it, and I'm not going to take away from it. Will that be right the first day? No. Will it take time? Yes. But here's what I learned over the years. There is a continual, ever-growing, never-ending, limitless supply of more, 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 because none of us on this earth yet have come to the place where we're manifesting all that Jesus did in all the flow that he did. And God has been speaking to me for years that he is limitless. So no matter what anointing you're moving in, that's great, yay, but there's a whole lot more. There's a whole lot more. There's so much more. And what God wants is a people who represent him as though your mouth was backed up to heaven and he's speaking through your mouth or touching through your hands or looking through your eyes. If you've ever seen someone's eyes who is manifesting God's eyes, you'll never forget it. Never. Never. You can never forget it because there's nothing like it. You know it's not human love. It's God's love pouring through them. Have you ever heard somebody speak and the words hit your heart like an arrow? And you know it's not that person. If you have any sense at all, you know that person couldn't come up with that. No person, no human is that smart. You know they had to get from God. And what has happened? Somehow, at least for that second, that moment, that phrase, they were able to transition themselves into their seat in heavenly places. And they were able to speak into the earth. See, their body is here, but their spirit is there. Don't get hung up on the, I can hear all the head cases. Well, how could that work? You know, don't ask me because I don't really know. I don't know how it works. I just know it works. I know that Jesus Christ walked on this earth, and yet he said to Philip, he who has seen me has seen the Father. How can that be when he said, our Father who art in heaven? How can that be? He said, the works that I do, the Father in me does them. Well, how can that be? You said the Father was in heaven. Make up your mind, Jesus. No, what he was saying was, the Spirit of the Father, the Holy, 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 Holy Ghost, was living in him, abiding in him. And that is his way of saying the Father's in me, because his Spirit is in me. He's releasing the works, the miracles, blind eyes open, deaf ears hear, people who were lame from birth get healed miraculously, raising dead people. How? By his flesh? Nope. He said these words, I know you've heard it before, but you're going to hear it again. And God has me say these things until they go in. These have to become part of us, not just head knowledge. It's got to become part of who we are. Jesus Christ said of himself, the Son of Man of himself, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself. Are you kidding? You're the Son of God. What do you mean you can do nothing? I just saw you heal blind eyes. I just saw you raise a dead guy. What do you mean you can do nothing? He said he can only do, talking about himself, what he sees his Father in heaven doing. He had a divine connection with the Holy One of God, right? What does it say about him? It says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. How about that? The Father himself, the Holy Spirit himself, all of heaven came and lived in that mortal body. And he could manifest that by yielding his flesh to that, yielding his intellect to that. You get it? Here's something even greater. A lot of people preach, they preach to the lost, and they say, well, if you accept Christ, he'll forgive your sins, and you get to go to heaven when you die. Well, amen and hallelujah, but I'm going to tell you something. What he did is he said, what I have, I'm going to give to you. What I have, I'm giving to you. Remember John, in the book of John, he said to his disciples, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, he said, he is with you, but he will be in you. How is he with you? It's a secret. He was walking around in Jesus. He is with you. I'm standing right here. He was with you. He's standing right here. You're looking at him. But he will be in you. That is the real power of the gospel. That you would actually have what Jesus had. Believe it or not, in its fullness. Or at least we could say access to the fullness. I will tell you this. You won't be able to walk in the fullness of it until you learn the fullness of humility, which is I have nothing, you are everything. I know nothing, you know everything. I get no credit for anything that happened, it's all you. If I ever manage to do anything right, it's you. That is how the thing works. Because he won't share his glory with another. And if you can understand these principles and begin to sit at the feet of the Holy Spirit, he will teach you how to allow him to manifest through your body until people are beside themselves. How did you know that? Well, I didn't, you know, but I know someone. I didn't know anything, you know, I didn't know, but I know somebody, right? I didn't know anything about your life, but I know somebody who's known you since you were conceived. I know somebody who saw you when you were abused at 3. I know somebody who said to you in the second grade that you were stupid, but guess what? You're not. I know somebody who told you you'll never amount to anything, but they were being used by the enemy to sow a seed, a lie. But guess what? God wants to remove that seed and put another seed in that says, you are going somewhere to happen. I created you and I don't make junk. You understand? I don't know anything, but the one in me, he knows them. And so what God is trying to do, and what he's been trying to do from day one, what he was trying to do with his disciples was get them to understand, this is how you do it. And so they began to go out and have revival and heal the sick and raise the dead and heal blind eyes. And then the devil came along and said, well, that's because they were apostles. And only those 12, you know. It's not true. The truth is, he taught them how. He showed them how. And then they went and did it. You get it? I'm going to break in the name of Jesus every lying religious spirit that says to you, it's not for you. It is for you. God wouldn't use you that way. That's a lie. It is for you. He would use you that way. You say, well, I'm too fearful. I'm too shy. Don't worry. He can free you from that. I don't know how to speak. Doesn't matter. He'll speak through you. You think I can speak? In my own ability? Absolutely not. But there's a method. And he wants you to become so good at it. Listen, this is what he told me. These are his words to me. I was at a place up at Green Lake. There was a bunch of couples. And we were all staying in this big old house. It had a big back porch right on the lake. And for some reason, everybody else was detained at the conference, at the meeting. And I came back and I had the whole house to myself. And so I went out on the back porch and I was hanging out with the Lord. And letting him teach me. My favorite thing is letting him teach me. You know, listening is a form of worship. Listening to the Lord is a form of worship. Because you are saying that what he has to say is more important than what you have to say. So I was listening to the Lord and he said, I want you to say everything I say. In prayer. When you're in prayer and you're praying in tongues and I give you a sentence, you say it. I said, even if I'm alone? Yep, even if you're alone. He said, and I want you to do it and 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 do it. He said, I want you to do it until it becomes as normal to you as breathing. And he said, I want you to become so good at it that you can do it whether you're with a gang on the street or the President of the United States. It won't matter. You can speak what I give you to speak. It'll become normal. So where is it learned? In the prayer closet. Where is the glory learned? In the prayer closet. Where is your identity learned? In the prayer closet. If you're not a person of prayer, you won't ever be able to attain these. These things can only be gotten from heaven. There is no earthly man, woman, ministry, seminary, college that can give you this. They can point the way. They can point the way. But I'll be really honest with you. I've been talking about this for years, but there's very few people who say, that's it. That's it. I'm going to do that. And I don't care what it costs. I remember the day I made that choice. And I said, I don't care about anything else. I don't care about anything. I'm going for that. I want heaven on earth manifest. That's what I want. And I didn't even know what that meant or how to do it, but I knew it was real. I knew the fire of God was real. I knew the glory of God was real and that God wanted to manifest himself through his people so that the earth could stop looking at this boring, judgmental, religious pile of junk and say, I don't want that. But that they would begin to look at people and say, my God, what is that? Where did you get that? How could you have known that? What do you mean you just healed my leg? How is that possible? Who is this God? And that will only happen when they encounter him in you. It will never happen if they encounter you and me. We don't have anything to give them. And we need to start putting, you know, kill your flesh, man. Flesh stinks. If you still have pride about your flesh and how well it does stuff, you're never going to step over. The first thing we need to know is we don't have anything to offer. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how anointed you are. Does that sound mean? I'm just telling you the truth. I'm telling you, if you die to the false or the substandard, he can give you the real. But if you won't die to that, he can't give you the real. Because he won't give it to somebody that won't give him all the glory. He won't share it ever. He's very feisty about this. And you want to be able to carry his presence without ever touching it in a wrong way. Right? You want to carry the glory. And the more you do it, here's what happens. The more you do it, the more you begin to love people. I will be brutally honest with you. I never really liked people. I I'm just going to be honest. I was always a loner. I was kind of a hermit. I was just always just one of those people who was happy alone. And but, you know, the more that I see God touch people, the more that I love them. And the more that I see how he loves them and how precious they are to him. And I'm going to tell you, there's people in the church you may not like. You may not understand. You may think they're weird or goofy or stupid or whatever you think. But I'm going to tell you something. He loves them. He loves them with an everlasting love. And he loves them enough that he would die for them if they were the only one. And so even that person that really bugs you, you got to remember, we have to handle them with kid gloves. And your flesh can't do it because your flesh wants to slap them. I'm just kidding. But the more that you operate in this, your focus will go off of you being used. Come on. You being a minister, or you being getting an accurate word, or you being seen of man. P-U, P-U, P-U. And somehow, in the process, you morph into somebody more and more like Jesus. And that's what his desire is, because his heart was, listen, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom. So helping someone will usually cost you. You know, if it's convenient to help them, it's not so great, is it? If it cost you and it really wasn't what you felt like doing today, then what did you just do? You just came in agreement with the cross, I'll die for them. I'm not going to get anything out of it, right? You know, a lot of people don't even say thank you, help them, you spend an hour, 2 hours helping them. A lot of people don't even remember that they're like the nine lepers that didn't even come back. Say thank you, you know? Right? But it doesn't matter, because when you come in agreement with the cross, you're saying, I didn't really come to be served. I came to serve and give my life a ransom for many. Now, he did that, but when you come in agreement with that, now you have some power to help people. And what's your reward for it? It's not till heaven. Because in heaven, God will look at you and say, thanks, man, I really wanted to reach that guy. And when you went out of your way to go talk to that guy that nobody else would talk to, he said, that meant a lot to me. I really wanted that guy. That meant a lot to me. When you went to that nursing home and you helped that person that stank and slobbered, got junk on your shirt, right? That meant a lot to me. See, because believe it or not, he loves them as much as he loves you and me. God, it is a great mystery, but God loves people. He loves the unlovable, the stinking, the addicts. He loves them. And he loves them with an everlasting love. And sometimes he just wants somebody that will say, you know what, it isn't what I would have done, but Lord, if you'll lead me, if you give me the grace, you give me the ability, and you give me the words to say. I got nothing. I got nothing. But if you'll give it to me, is I'll go deliver it. Or I'll call that person. Sometimes you have a dream about somebody. And maybe you're just supposed to call and encourage them. Maybe you're supposed to say, hey, you know, I don't know what it means, but I was praying and I saw this. Does that mean something? Is there something I can help you with? You know, sometimes it's like heaven goes, oh, thanks. Because see, those people, a lot of people can't hear him. Most people cannot hear the voice of God. And guess what? Some of you have to be the voice of God to them. Yeah, that's what prophecy is about. It's not about us getting used. It's about them being able to connect with the Father in a way that they can't. There's hordes of Christians that have never heard God in their life, don't know how to get direction, don't know what to do. They know God's good, but they don't know how to manifest that. They're struggling, right? They don't know how to win a battle. They don't know how to hear him, so they can't get help. Right? And they're going to somebody who maybe doesn't know either. I'm just telling you the truth. And so sometimes, if you can just sit with the Lord and say, you know, and it doesn't have to be like lightning and thunder, but just, you might just say to them, you know, I'm not sure, but I was praying for you and I kind of had this sense. Sometimes they'll just burst into tears like, oh my God, I've been begging God to tell me what to do about that. See, God wants to help his people. God loves his people. And his people are floundering. They are. And those of you, there's a lot of people in here, you're spirit-filled. And some of you have been walking with the Lord for years. And it's not all, I know our primary thing is relationship with him. That is my primary thing. But having said that, let's try to help him connect with the people he wants to connect with. He cares about the lost. And I'm going to tell you something, there's a lot of lost in the church. And they may have said the prayer, and they may have meant it, but they're floundering. You know, Lord told me when she first got saved, she went to church every week, but it was like a feel-good message, and she just thought, well, that's all there is. That's it. That's all there is. That's what, you know, because that's what some of the churches tell you. God bless them. 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 Not coming against them. I'm just saying. People need to be rescued, and they don't need our advice, and they don't need our opinion, and they don't need all our knowledge. What they need is the heart of God. And sometimes it takes some prayer. Sometimes you got to spend some time in prayer. Sometimes you got to fast a little bit. Sometimes you got to spend some time saying, what are you saying, God? But there's this thing that's been in the body, and I think this is over. I actually sense a grace upon the body right now. I sense that this day is passing away of put it off, put it off, put it off. Put it off, but I'll do that thing. Yeah, I'll do that. Boy, I'm going to get a life of prayer, but I'm kind of busy right now. I'll do that fasting thing, but I'm kind of busy. But I'm just sensing such a holy grace of stop. Like, we'll do it now. Such a grace of God upon us to stop and do what we've always known we should do. Such a grace to begin to study and enjoy it. Study and enjoy it. Listen to the word. Hang out with God. Journal. Spend time. See, if you spend enough time in your prayer chair, listening to God and absorbing what he says, and at first you might even say, I'm not even sure that's him. That's okay. You're not going to be sure at first, right? Because he's a God you can't see. So you've got to do it by faith, but that's okay. You just write it down and date it. Don't worry about it. Whether you say, but I'm not sure with him, write it down and date it. And just keep doing that. And when about 6 months to a year has gone by, go back and read and you'll be like, wow, look at that. He said this and this and this. Look at what happened. You see, God will train you. He will train you to know the way that he speaks. Everybody hears differently. That's okay. You may not hear words. You may not see the way some people see, but God knows his kids. And he knows how to speak to his kids. He knows how to get the news to you, right? He knows how to get news to you. He knows how to answer the heart cry. Sometimes I used to say when I didn't hear him well, I'd say, Lord, I need you to tell me what to do about this and make it like a billboard. And there were times when he literally made a billboard. And I'm trying to, oh my God. You know? Right? And I knew it was him. See, God knows how to speak. He said, my sheep know my voice. And he wants you in relationship. He wants you in such close relationship where you have such a sense of living in heaven. You know? No, I'm not being weird. You are seated in heavenly places. But for some people, that's just a saying. But there's an actual lifestyle of knowing that that's home and living out from a place. And you're aware of earth. You're aware that there's stuff happening. You're aware that there's, you know, whatever situation or a attack or whatever. But it can't really get to you because you're not here. You're there. You're living in heavenly places with him. You're in him. In him we live and move and have our being. That's a place. It's not just a metaphor. It's a place. It's a real place in the spirit. The spirit realm isn't some ethereal pretend thing. It's a real place, more real than this place. I have a friend. He's a banker. And he was at a party, and there was a lot of unbelievers there. He didn't really want to get involved with the drinking and partying. So he was standing out on a balcony He said suddenly, he was just talking to a friend, and suddenly he looked up and he saw Jesus in the air on the clouds. He saw angels. And he said his reaction was, oh my God, that's real. This is not real. That's what's real. That is more real than this. This is nothing. This will all pass away. This is like a cheap garbage can. That is real. The reality of heaven is more real. But what has happened to us is we've been brainwashed, really, because all we've ever seen is this earth. So this earth has become the good and bad, the happiness or sadness. Circumstances rule us. Oh, this happened, I'm sad. Oh, this happened, I'm happy. Oh, if this would happen, that'd really be happy. Oh, if I could have that then, by golly, then I'd be happy. All temporal, all going to pass away. And by the way, that happiness won't last. It won't. It may feel good for a day or two. Hallelujah. But because that doesn't minister to the real you. Do you ever have something that your flesh wants to do, you know, eat a good meal or go eat a big Portillo chocolate cake or something, you know, even worse? You know, there's things our flesh want. And you know what the Bible says about it? Sin has pleasure for a season, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And if you watch it play out, your emotions are like, woohoo, I get to eat a chocolate cake. And then it's like, whoa, boy, it was really good. And it was good. And then you're like, I really wish I hadn't done that, you know, right? And then you got a much longer time to regret than you had to enjoy. And that's the way of the flesh in any subject, okay? I'm being polite, right? Right? Sin has pleasure for a season, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Hey, that just dripped on me. Stop that. Our ceiling leaketh. It does. I'm not kidding. It's... Hallelujah. So the point is, the things that our flesh thinks will make us happy or fulfill us, if I moved in power, you know, you know what? If you move in power, you know what you get? More work. Yeah, it's true. And it's not that you don't enjoy it, but that's not your fulfilling power. It's not. Being used of God is not what will fulfill you. Having people say, wow, that guy really moves in healing, that is not fulfilling. You think it would be, but it isn't. Because that's your flesh saying, boy, I would like that. And most people won't even admit that their flesh wants that. But there is something that fulfills utterly. It satisfies like nothing on this earth, and it never passes away. It's something that you can live in and walk in. It's a joy and a peace. It's a place. It's a lifestyle. And all I can describe is that God wants it for his kids. So that when trouble comes, he can say, that's okay, you're in me. That's okay, I got this. And you don't even have to worry about it because you're in him. And you know, my dad will take care of this. I don't know how he'll take care of it, but he'll take care of it because he loves me. God wants that for you. Every day, every night, no matter what's going on. There was a story about a lady in World War II. She's an older lady, and everybody was going to the bunkers every time the bombs would drop. It was scary. Bombs going off all around, rubble everywhere, buildings going down. And she was talking to the Lord, and the bombs start going. And she said to the Lord, listen, the Bible says you never slumber or sleep. I'm going to bed. And she went to bed and slept the whole night through, and people the next day are like, oh, we were so worried about you. Buildings went down all around her, but nothing touched her building. She understood him. She understood him. There's a place in him where you can have things going off all around you, and it looks bad and scary and awful, but it's kind of like, you know what? It's okay. My Father has this. And I don't have to know how. And I don't have to give him the deadline. Now, God, you need to do it by this date. You know, I'm going to tell you something. God's dates are not the same as the electric company. God makes his own dates. He does. He is not subject to this stuff. He laughs at this stuff. Oh, I'm going to lose my house. Not if I say you're not going to. And if you do, it'll be because I have something better that I decided. And I'll give you a bigger, better house. Right? So what do we have to worry about? Nothing. And we only worry because we are too married to the outcome. If you worry and you fret and you say, oh, his yoke, it's heavy, You know, his burden, he said it's easy and light, but it doesn't feel easy and light. You know what he told me? He said, when people say that and feel like that, it's because they are too married to the outcome and the earth system. Well, if that went away, then everything would be okay. You know what? It doesn't matter how it goes. See, I came up out of a faith church, and I love the faith message. I mean, it's powerful and it works. But here's something I learned. In the faith message, we would often define what we wanted and how we wanted. We'd confess it and believe it. And a lot of times that came to pass. But here's something I found out. Sometimes that whole thing falls apart because God has something better. And you're like, why didn't it work? I believed you. And the fact is, faith for me, isn't that God will do everything the way that I told him to. He's God, I'm not. It's that he will do always what is the best thing for me. And he will always build his kingdom in the doing of it. And I don't have to worry about how he does it. I just have to know he's good and he's worth it. He's going to take care of me. That's all I got to know. So when something explodes or something bad happens or there's a big old bill staring me in the face, you know what I do? Thank you, Father, that you're going to take care of this. And I don't even waste time praying for it. You say, isn't that presumptuous? Yeah, because I presume the word is true. I presume the word is true. He said he's good for it. He's good for it. Now, I will say this. I will check and make sure I've done everything I'm supposed to do. I'll make sure I'm positioned properly, that I'm walking in love and forgiveness. I don't have any bitterness, that I've sown and given properly. If there's anything I need to do and I haven't done it, you know, get in my face, God, correct me. But if I think I've done everything I'm supposed to do, and I don't sense any correction going on, then yes, I do presume. And I am not going to waste an hour praying for that thing. I'm not going to, you know, some people, this is how they pray. Oh, now if it's the Holy Ghost, that's cool. People come up to the altar and they're like in panic mode. And they're like striving and sweating and they're like, you know, you can't get a word in edgewise. And they're like all nervous, Nelly. You know, and you're trying to give them something, but you can't because they're in output. You know, they're so busy fretting, they can't receive. You can't give them anything. So you wait, you know, you wait, and you wait. But if they still don't, you finally say, honey, let's just try to enter his rest for a minute. Let's go into receive mode. You know, because God is smart enough. He is able to take care of this. And so, you know, had you ever see somebody try to get filled with the Holy Spirit, but they're striving so hard, they're like, you know, God's like, call me downy. You know? See, that's why it says labor to enter the rest. Because you know what that means? That might as well say labor to enter the realm of the Spirit. Because that's where you hear. That's where your answers are. Sometimes the strongest, most powerful form of prayer is when you're no longer talking. And you enter a state of just, whew, God. And you come out of there and you know exactly what to do. And you never heard his voice, you just know. Right? There's a thing the Bible calls a trance. I'm persuaded that it's when you pray a lot. There's times when you'll actually pray yourself into a state where you just can feel like, oh, I shouldn't say anymore. And you just quietly, you're not asleep, but I wouldn't say you're wholly awake either. But you're totally with him. And in that place, you just know. I've had it happen that in that place, I don't know one thing, but I just know like 20 things. I just know. And I come out of it. And I just know, and I write them down, because sometimes when you're back into the flesh, you can't remember what happened in the spirit. So I come out and I write them down. Some of you didn't understand that, so I'll just explain it. When you're in the spirit, you're operating not out of your intellect, okay? God may say something to you, and you're like, man, that's profound. And then later, like, oh, what did he say? Because you were in the spirit, your intellect can't remember it. And here's how I learned this. I would go to preach, and suddenly I'd remember it all, because I'm in the spirit. You see? So there's a place. See, your spirit man, your born-again spirit, I hope everyone in here is born again. If you're not, come and talk to me. You need to be born again. But if you're born again, your spirit, your born again spirit, that's what interacts with the Father in heaven. Right? Is this too much for y'all?
No.
This stuff needs to be said. Amen. This stuff needs to be said. God's people don't know who they are on the inside. God's people don't know how to do the stuff because they don't understand. They're trying to do the stuff out of their flesh. Your flesh can't do the stuff. What did Paul say about flesh? In my flesh dwells no good thing. Your flesh doesn't have the ability to be good enough. Come on, your flesh doesn't have the ability to produce decent worship. It's in your spirit, man. So the job becomes not operating out of the flesh, but reckon the old, that's the old man, reckon the old man dead. Shut up, flesh. Shut up, opinions. Shut up, mind, just shut up. I'm going to hang out with God, and whatever he says to do, I'm going to do. And whatever he says to say, I'm going to say. And if he tells me not to talk, I'm not going to talk. If he tells me to go to the store and turn right, I'm going to do it. And that is the walk of the Spirit. Those who are led by the Spirit of God shall be called the sons of God. Why? Because they'll manifest the same way the Son of God manifested. Because that's how he did the stuff. So gone are the days, I hope and pray, where the church tries to do holiness in the flesh. Right? We try, we fail. We try, we fail. We beg God to forgive us. We beat ourselves up. We try and we fail. We try and we fail. We beg God to forgive us. And then we beat ourselves up. And we're caught in this cycle of not good enough. And God's like, dude, I told you you weren't good enough. Dude, I told you you had no worthiness of your own. So, hello, ABC, I died. I gave you my own righteousness, but it's not your flesh. You have a treasure in the earthen vessel. That treasure is a spirit man. And it walks freely in heavenly places if you let it. It worships freely before God. You can be sitting in a chair and your spirit man is dancing before the throne. Did you know that? There is such a thing as being both places at once. The first time it happened to me, I was preaching. I was preaching at Pheasant Run in St. Charles. And I had nothing. I had no message, not a scripture, not a thought, not nothing. Which, now that's normal, but then I was a little nervous. And I was aware, I was in a room full of about, I don't know, 75 or 80 women. I had no message whatsoever. None. And I'm thinking, oh Lord, give me a message. And I'm aware of this wooden podium. And I said, you know, having no message, I said, ladies, would you pray? And these ladies knew how to pray. They're like, boom, they're in, they're praying. And within a few minutes, I looked up and I saw the first sentence. I said, okay, now I got giddy up. I got something. So I go to speak the first sentence and suddenly I'm aware. I know that my physical body is standing in front of these women. I know I'm at Pheasant Run Resort. But I have an awareness that in the spirit I'm standing in front of the Father, but my back is to the throne. He is giving me what to say, and I am saying it. Right? He is giving me, line feeding me, here's what you say, here's what you say. When I'm speaking, now I'm not saying this about me, this has nothing to do with me, but people are falling out of their chair. Because the power is too much. Because it's not me. Think about what Paul said. It's no longer I, but Christ who lives in me. He does the works. I'm telling you, this is method. And this is the day where the church is supposed to step it up and step out of the carnal and into the glory of God. Step out of the earthly means and away from the fleshy way of trying to do it, which is going to be failure by design. Your flesh can't. Listen, your flesh is the seed of Adam. Your flesh wasn't wholly redeemed, right? If it was, you'd never have a bad thought. You'd never be crabby. You'd never want to slap somebody. Come on. It's the truth. If your flesh had been totally redeemed, right? But your spirit was made new. You weren't just forgiven. You were recreated in the image of Jesus. So that's who's living on the inside of you. We have to get a clue what's really happening here. And when we get it and we begin to move in that realm, we will be unearthly people doing things in the earth and people saying, what is that? Where did they get that? And here's what the fleshy church, they say, ooh, that man is anointed. He's walking from a different place. He's speaking from a different place. His revelation, yes, your intellect is used in study and praise God for it. But when the Holy Spirit breathes on that, it becomes more than knowledge. It becomes the spirit of wisdom and revelation being released as only God can do it. You see? And so this is the goal. And I know that some people go, gee, that's great. You know, let me just push a button and have that. No, it's a lifestyle. Catherine Kuhlman said, what does it cost? Everything. You know, because it's something you do the rest of your life. I remember the day I was driving the car and I suddenly knew. I got it. I understood it. And I said, God, if it's the last thing I do, I want that. I want the walk of the Spirit. I don't care what it costs. I don't care how long it takes me. And I said, I don't even really know what it is. I don't even understand it. Didn't have any framework. Like, I just gave no understanding. But I knew one thing. I'd seen somebody who had it. And they walked in the glory. And they walked in the fire. And they'd had trips to heaven where they came back so hot it would burn you. And I knew it. And I said, that's what I want. I don't care about any of this junk. I said, so God, if it's the last thing I learn, you teach me the walk of the Spirit. It was in my 20s. Did I learn it overnight? No. Did it take me repenting from a jillion things? Yeah. Did I have to get free from a lot of strongholds? Yeah, because a stronghold hinders the very thing God has put in you. I said a stronghold hinders the thing God has put in you that he wants to release. Don't keep your strongholds. Go after them. Go after them. You pray till they're gone. If you have to fast, you fast till they're gone. You go after them until you're clean. And then you go after the next one. And then you go after false belief systems. And then you go after emotional healing. And you keep after it, because what are you doing? You're being changed from faith to faith and glory to glory. People who go after it casually will never carry the real presence. This isn't gotten casually. On purpose, God won't give it to people. On purpose, he will not let the casual carry it. When you seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. There's somebody here and you're saying, I would do anything. I'll do anything for that. Other people are like, I'm scared of that. But if you're a person that says, I want that, I don't care what it costs. If you're that person, I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to manifest you in the earth, not me. I want to connect you to your people and your people to you by the power of the Spirit who lives in me. Help me learn the walk of the Spirit. Help me learn how to die to myself that you might live through me. Help me to learn how to carry the glory without ever touching it, without ever taking the credit. Teach me how. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.